Obsessions and compulsions. The print version shows a picture of a handwritten checklist showing today's checklist. 1. Check. 2. Check again. 3. Check again. 4. Check again. 5. Check again. 6. Check again. 7. Check again. Learn more about obsessions and compulsions and skills to cope with them. Approximate recording time, 40 minutes. You can skip through the tracks in this recording to find the beginning of each section. Self-help for obsessions and compulsions. Do you spend large... Self-help for obsessions and compulsions. Do you spend large periods of your day worrying that you have forgotten to do something properly? Do you have an intense fear of germs or contamination? Do you spend large parts of your day cleaning or checking that you have performed certain tasks correctly? For example, locking the door, turning off the cooker, etc. Do you feel distressed if household items are not in their proper place? Do you regularly experience distressing thoughts or images that are very difficult to get out of your mind? Do you feel pressure to perform certain rituals to avoid the possibility of negative events occurring? Do you worry that you will be held responsible for a negative event and go to extreme lengths to avoid this? For example, check things over and over, perform superstitious rituals. If the answer to any of these questions is yes, you may be experiencing obsessions and compulsions, and you may find this workbook helpful. This workbook aims to help you to 1. Recognise whether you may be experiencing obsessions and compulsions. 2. Understand what obsessions and compulsions are, what causes them, and what keeps them going. And 3. Find ways to reduce obsessions and compulsions. Am I experiencing obsessions and compulsions? Please complete the print version of this form or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. If you experience obsessions and compulsions, it is likely that you will recognise some of the symptoms described below. Please tick the boxes which regularly apply to you. Feelings: anxious or panicky, frustrated or uneasy, contaminated, unclean or dirty, guilty, ashamed or disgusted, under pressure or responsible. Physical symptoms: butterflies in your stomach or nauseous, heart races or mind races, dizzy or lightheaded, tense body or muscular pain. Thoughts: I'm dirty or contaminated, I'm going to become ill or cause others to become ill, I could get burgled, what if I've left the cooker or iron or radio on, it'll be my fault if I don't do something to avert danger, I'm a terrible person to think this way, I won't be able to cope unless I get this place straightened out. And behaviour patterns. Check over and over that you have completed a task properly. Avoid leaving the house last so you don't have to look up. Ask others to check you have turned all the appliances off properly. Repeatedly shower or wash your hands. Avoid touching objects that make you feel dirty. Say silent prayers in attempt to avoid disasters. Make sure everything is in its correct position. You try to push distressing thoughts and images from your mind. If you have ticked a number of the thoughts or behaviours boxes, you may be experiencing obsessions and compulsions. However, don't be alarmed. This is very common and there are things you can do to help. You will find some useful strategies in this workbook. What are obsessions and compulsions? Many people have habits and superstitions that they perform to avoid misfortune. For example, people often avoid walking under ladders or touch wood to fend off bad luck. Obsessions and compulsions are essentially a more extreme form of this. It is when people begin spending large periods of time every day performing behaviours aimed at minimising danger that they are described as experiencing obsessions and compulsions. Obsession is the word used to describe when someone experiences unwanted thoughts, impulses, or images that are difficult to control. Common obsessions are about forgetting to do something, for example, locking the door or turning off the cooker, being contaminated by germs, harming others, for example, knocking someone over in the car or harming someone with a knife, performing socially unacceptable behaviours, for example, swearing in church, or a need for orderliness, for example, everything must be in its correct place. These obsessions are naturally anxiety-provoking and are often followed by time-consuming rituals which attempt to neutralise the discomfort they cause. Rituals which are performed to provide relief from the distress caused by obsessions are sometimes referred to as compulsions. Examples of compulsions include checking that you have performed tasks properly, for example, locked the door, putting things into their correct place, washing yourself thoroughly, cleaning the house, or counting items. People also often say silent prayers, picture happy images, or repeat phrases over and over in their mind in order to minimise danger. Obsessions and compulsions usually occur together, but they sometimes occur individually. What causes obsessions and compulsions? Thinking styles. Some people may have a thinking style that lends itself to developing obsessions and compulsions. For example, people who develop obsessions and compulsions appear more likely to overestimate the chances of something bad happening, for example, their house being burgled. As such, they go to great lengths to avoid the possibility of this. For example, check their door is locked a dozen times. It is also believed that people who develop obsessions and compulsions are more likely to believe that they will be held responsible and blamed if something negative does happen. This too makes them want to engage in rituals to bring relief from this fear. We also know that everyone has unwanted and unusual thoughts at times. However, people who develop obsessions and compulsions tend to view their unwanted thoughts as highly significant. For example, they may believe that having an unusual thought, for example, of harming someone, makes it more likely that they will follow through with it, as opposed to seeing it as a random thought without meaning. People also sometimes believe that having an unpleasant thought, for example, swearing in church, is just as bad as actually doing it. Similarly, people often worry that having unpleasant thoughts is a sign that they are unusual or that something is wrong with them. As a result of these interpretations, people can feel distressed, frightened, guilty, or ashamed about their thoughts. This is why they often engage in rituals to try and reduce some of these difficult emotions. Life events. Obsessions and compulsions commonly develop following a period of stress in someone's life. For example, a bereavement, financial problems, or workplace stress. Someone's experiences throughout life can also have an impact. For example, if someone has grown up in a household where cleanliness was a high priority, they may develop a sensitivity towards hygiene issues themselves. If this is the case, they may be more likely to engage in time-consuming rituals to make themselves and their surroundings feel clean. Biological reasons. There is also some evidence that biological factors play a small role in the development of obsessions and compulsions. For example, if someone in your immediate family has experienced obsessions and compulsions, there is a higher, albeit small, chance that you may go on to experience them too. In reality, it is possible that a combination of these factors play a role in the development of obsessions and compulsions. However, in some ways, it is less important to know what causes them and more important to know what stops us overcoming them. What keeps our obsessions and compulsions going? Relief-seeking rituals. Those who experience obsessions and compulsions become distressed when they have an unwanted thought. For example, I'm contaminated and will spread germs. In an attempt to neutralise this, they engage in rituals designed to bring relief from this distress. For example, wash their hands. Although this is a very understandable way of coping with an unwanted thought, it is actually one of the main reasons that people find it hard to overcome them. This is because although rituals help people to feel better at first, for example checking the door is locked, this relief is normally short-lived and the unwanted thought soon returns. For example, did I check it properly? Because of this, people soon perform their relief-seeking ritual again, as it is the only way that they know how to gain relief from their distress. Unfortunately, this creates a pattern of behaviour where people repeatedly engage in rituals in the search for relief, to the point that the rituals themselves become very time-consuming and distressing. Furthermore, people sometimes believe that the only reason their fears have not come true, for example, that they will become ill after touching a door handle, is because they have been consistently performing their rituals, for example, thoroughly washing their hands afterwards. Because of this, they feel it is necessary to continue. However, by doing so, they do not give themselves the opportunity to learn that they would be highly unlikely to become ill, even if they had not bothered to wash their hands. Avoidance. Another factor that keeps people's obsessions and compulsions going is their tendency to avoid doing things that normally trigger unwanted thoughts. For example, someone may avoid going to church due to their fear of committing blasphemy. However, by avoiding church, they don't give themselves the chance to prove that they would have behaved perfectly had they gone, and as a result, their fear remains. Similarly, someone may never take a turn of cooking in case they leave the hob on and cause a fire. This precaution would likely leave them thinking, if I had cooked, I could have caused a terrible fire, and again, their fear remains intact. Blocking out thoughts. Just as people avoid situations and tasks that trigger unwanted thoughts, for example cooking or being the last person to leave the house, they also try to avoid their unwanted thoughts by pushing them to the back of their minds. For example, someone who has a thought that they might harm their loved one will try to block this from their mind as best as they can. Unfortunately, we know that the harder someone tries not to think about something, the more likely they are to do so. As a result, this coping strategy actually just ensures that the problem continues. Unhelpful thoughts. People's thinking styles play a role in keeping their obsessions and compulsions going. For example, people often overestimate the likelihood of a negative event occurring if they did not perform their rituals. For example, had I not checked every plug in the house was off 3 times, I could have burned the house down. Because of this, they find it difficult to refrain from engaging in time-consuming rituals. Their fear of being held responsible for negative events like this has the same impact. It is likely that a combination of all these factors play a role in keeping obsessions and compulsions going. See below for an illustration of how these factors can interact and make it difficult for us to overcome their obsessions and compulsions. A diagram on page 7 of the print version shows a series of boxes in a clockwise circle. Situation: last person to go to bed in the evening. This leads to thoughts: if I don't check all the appliances are off, I could cause a fire. This leads to feelings: apprehensive, under pressure, responsible. This leads to physical symptoms: heart races, mind races, sweat. This leads to behaviours: go into every room 3 times and check that all the switches are off. This leads to feelings, relief. This leads to thoughts: there would have been a fire had I not checked. No one would have forgiven me. This leads back to situation, to form a continuous circle. Understanding your problems. Please complete the form on page 8 of the print version, or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Try to fill in something of your own experience. You may begin to understand your difficulties a little better, particularly what patterns may exist and how things interact. A diagram on page 8 of the print version shows a series of boxes in a clockwise circle. The boxes have titles followed by a blank space for you to complete. Situation. This leads to thoughts. This leads to feelings. This leads to physical symptoms. This leads to behaviours. This leads to feelings. This leads to thoughts. This leads back to situation to form a continuous circle. How can I overcome my obsessions and compulsions? Fortunately, there are a number of strategies that we can use to reduce our obsessions and compulsions. These include 1. Learning how to gradually confront our unwanted thoughts or obsessions without relying on relief-seeking rituals. 2. Tips to help us reduce our relief-seeking rituals or compulsions. And 3. Learning how to challenge our unhelpful thoughts and see things in a more realistic light. When going through this booklet, it can sometimes be more helpful to try out the ideas above one at a time, rather than trying to learn them all at once. However, simply take things at your own pace. Step 2. Ranking the items on your hierarchy. Once you have a list of items for your hierarchy, the next stage involves trying to rank them in order of least anxiety-provoking to most anxiety-provoking. To help, try to predict how anxious you believe each item would make you feel on a scale from 0 to 100, where 100 is the most anxious you have ever felt and 0 is the most relaxed you have ever felt. Use box 2 in the exposure plan. Once you have completed this, simply rearrange the items on your list from least anxiety provoking to most anxiety provoking. Use box 3 in the exposure plan. For example, in the following list we detail hierarchy items with the predicted anxiety. Having your stack of DVDs squint, 55. Having a picture squint on the wall, 60. Chopping vegetables with your child upstairs, 70. Leaving shoes in the hallway, 75. Chopping vegetables with your child in the next room, 80. Moving your rug out of its normal position, 85. Chopping vegetables with your friend beside you, 95. And chopping vegetables with your child in the same room, 100. Step 3. Confronting the first item on your hierarchy. Once you have finalised your hierarchy, the next step is to confront the first item on it as soon as possible. This is often referred to as an exposure task. This should be the item that you predict will cause you the least amount of anxiety from your list. It is very important that when you do this, you do not perform any relief-seeking rituals that you have used in the past. During exposure tasks, it is important to A. Avoid using any relief-seeking rituals as they simply slow down your progress. See Section 2, Reducing Relief-Seeking Rituals, for further advice on this. B. Remember that although your anxiety will initially rise during an exposure task, it will fall if you remain in the situation for long enough. C. Be aware that anxiety is a natural and healthy reaction that everyone experiences. Although it can feel unpleasant, it is not dangerous and will gradually pass if you remain in the situation for long enough. D. Try to remain in the situation until your anxiety reduces by at least half. And E. Focus on removing one ritual at a time. For example, if your exposure task is to avoid double-checking that the TV is off, still allow yourself to double-check that the hairdryer is off. This can help stop you from taking on too much at once. Step 4. Repeating the exposure exercise. Once you have completed your exposure task once, the next step is to do so again, over and over, as often as possible, until you have overcome your anxiety towards that item. You should find that each time you confront the item on your hierarchy, it will become slightly easier. As a rule of thumb, try to ensure that you engage in your exposure task every day if you can. Remember that the more often you expose yourself to an item on your hierarchy, the quicker you will overcome your fear towards it. Step 5. Moving on to the next item on your hierarchy. Once you have overcome your fear towards the first item on your hierarchy, you should follow the same steps with the next item on your hierarchy. Continue through your hierarchy in this manner until you have reached the top and you are less troubled by your obsessions and compulsions. Try to make sure that when you move on to each new item on your hierarchy, you keep up the progress that you have already made on other items and don't slip back into old habits. Remember that as you progress through each stage of your hierarchy, your confidence will grow. This should mean that items which are higher on your hierarchy, that seemed very daunting at first, will be less frightening when you actually come to face them because of your previous achievements. Troubleshooting. A. If you attempt an exposure task and it does not go as well as you had hoped, try not to worry, as this can happen from time to time. Try again as soon as you can. B. If the exposure task still seems too hard, see if you can build in an extra step or two before it on your hierarchy. This will allow your confidence to grow further before facing it. For example, exposure hierarchy, use the cooker and only go back once to check that it's off. And use the cooker and don't go back to check it's off at all. Amended hierarchy, use the microwave and only go back once to check that it's off. Use the microwave and don't go back to check that it's off at all. Use the cooker and allow yourself two checks to ensure that it's switched off. Use the cooker and only go back once to check that it's off. And use the cooker and don't go back to check it's off at all. And C. If you find that your anxiety is not reducing during an exposure task, ask yourself, have you replaced your usual relief-seeking ritual with another, as this would normally stop you from progressing? Exposure plan. Please complete the form on page 14 of the standard print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Make a list of all the things that you avoid or make you anxious. Use a scale from not anxious, 0, to extremely anxious, 100, to describe how difficult you think each situation might be. Then you can put them into an order to work on. Box 1, hierarchy items. Box 2, predicted anxiety. This box corresponds with each of the hierarchy items. Anxiety rated 0 to 100. These lead to Box 3, Exposure Hierarchy. List the items number 1 to 12. Reducing relief-seeking rituals. It is very important to break the cycle of performing relief-seeking rituals, which are also known as compulsions. For example, not washing your hands when you feel contaminated. Not checking that an electrical socket has been switched off correctly. Not picturing your loved ones alive and well to ensure that they remain safe. Or not triple-checking that you have locked your car properly. By removing these rituals, you will give yourself the chance to prove that you do not have to complete them to avoid disaster. You will also be giving yourself the chance to experience anxiety, which will become less and less each time you complete an exposure task. Here are some tips to help with this. 1. Try not to cut down on your relief-seeking rituals by avoiding activities that trigger your urge to do them. For example, don't avoid being the last person to leave home so you won't have to lock up. Don't avoid knives because it brings images into your mind of harming someone. This avoidance takes away your chance to work towards overcoming your obsessions and compulsions. 2. Try not to rely on friends or family to help you out by completing rituals for you. For example, don't ask them to check that all the plugs are off. Don't ask them to clean for you. Don't ask for reassurance that the door is locked. This would simply be replacing your relief-seeking ritual and prevent you from facing your fear. 3. If you find it very difficult to remove a relief-seeking ritual, try to gradually reduce the amount of time you spend carrying it out. For example, wash your hands more quickly. Just have a very quick glance to check that plugs are switched off, until you have reduced it to a level you are satisfied with. 4. Similarly, if you typically check items a certain number of times before you feel comfortable, try to gradually cut this down. You can even build this into your hierarchy. For example, step 1, leave home and allow yourself two checks to ensure that the door is locked. Step 2, leave home and only allow yourself to check that the door is locked once. 5. Another idea, if you are struggling, is to try to delay the completion of a relief-seeking ritual, for example by 5 minutes. Begin to increase this time gradually until you no longer feel the need to carry out your ritual at all. 6. Spend time thinking about if you complete other less obvious rituals during exposure tasks. If you notice any, it is important to remove these as well. For example, if it is your normal practice to touch every light switch to check that it is in the off position, make sure you don't replace this with visually checking that it is off. In other words, try to remove all behaviours intended to bring you relief. And 7. Focus on removing one ritual at a time. For example, if your exposure task is to avoid double-checking that the TV is off, still allow yourself to double-check that the hairdryer is off. This can help stop you from taking on too much at once. As we know, a compulsion is anything that brings relief from an obsession. It is perhaps most common for the compulsions people use to be physical behaviours, for example, returning home to check that the door is locked properly, or washing their hands to avoid the risk of contamination. However, sometimes people's compulsions are thoughts rather than behaviours. For example, they may picture their family as healthy and happy to bring relief from an image that they have come to harm. Despite the different forms of compulsions, the idea that we should stop ourselves doing them is exactly the same. For example, resisting picturing your family is healthy. Another common way people try to cope with obsessions and compulsions of this nature is to try and block the obsessions from coming into their mind in the first place. In addition, they also try to push away any obsessions that they do experience. Although this is an understandable way to try and cope, it often makes the problem worse. This is because the harder we try not to think about something, the more and more it comes back into our mind. Basically, the harder we try not to think of something, the more likely we are to do so. You can test this theory out for yourself. Try, for example, not to think about pink elephants for the next 30 seconds. You will likely find this is very difficult. Because pushing thoughts away actually makes the problem worse, we should try to resist doing this. Instead, remind yourself that the thoughts are nothing to be anxious about, as they are meaningless and random. Try not to attach any importance to them whatsoever. Take the attitude that you don't care if these thoughts enter your mind, as they are so unimportant anyway. You should find that the less significance you attach to these thoughts, the quicker they will drift out of your mind. Challenging unhelpful thoughts. The way people think has an impact on their obsessions and compulsions. More specifically, certain thoughts make it harder for people to resist completing relief-seeking rituals. It is therefore important to remember that our thoughts are not always accurate. Indeed, most of our unhelpful thoughts occur automatically outside of our control and do not have any real basis. As such, we should question them, as more often or not they are wrong assumptions. The following section will help you to begin recognising if you are thinking about things in an unhelpful or unrealistic way, and discuss how you can begin to challenge this. By doing so, you can learn to see things in a more realistic light, which can help to reduce your obsessions and compulsions. We know that often people's unhelpful thoughts follow similar patterns. See below. Being aware of these can make it easier to identify the unhelpful thoughts that often make it more difficult to resist completing relief-seeking rituals. A drawing on page 18 of the standard print version shows a girl with a thought bubble. Nothing will happen if I don't check everything twice before I leave. Patterns of unhelpful thoughts. The first step you need to take before challenging your unhelpful thoughts is to recognise when they are happening. Being aware of the common patterns that unhelpful thoughts often follow can assist you to recognise when you have them. See below for some of the common patterns that our unhelpful thoughts follow. Exaggerated feelings of responsibility. People who experience obsessions and compulsions are often particularly anxious about being held responsible and blamed if something bad occurs. For example, they worry about other people's reactions if there was a fire because they left a plug on, or if someone became unwell after eating food they prepared. Overestimating the possibility of danger. It is also common for people who experience obsessions and compulsions to overestimate the danger involved in certain situations. For example, they believe that they would almost definitely be burgled if they forgot to lock their door. Underestimating their ability to cope with anxiety. People who believe that anxiety is dangerous and that they cannot tolerate it typically find it more difficult to resist completing relief-seeking rituals. For example, they may have the belief that too much anxiety will make them go mad, or worrying that their anxiety will get out of control if they do not do something to reduce it. Difficulty tolerating uncertainty. Sometimes people who experience obsessions and compulsions find it very difficult to tolerate uncertainty. For example, they insist on being 100% sure that a task has been completed perfectly. With such high standards, they are inclined to go to extra lengths to ensure that everything has been completed properly. For example, I must know for sure that my taps are off or I'm reckless. Attaching high significance to thoughts. When people attach a high level of significance to their thoughts, they are more likely to engage in relief-seeking rituals. For example, someone believing that a random image of them swearing in church is just as bad as following through with it. Or believing that their intrusive thought, for example about harming someone they love, means that they must be an evil person. Other people sometimes worry that by thinking about something negative, it is more likely to happen. For example, a loved one being involved in a car accident. Unfortunately, placing such high significance on thoughts encourages people to complete rituals to counteract them. Please complete the form on page 19 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Do any of your unhelpful thoughts follow some of these patterns? Jot down any examples you can think of into the box below. Unhelpful thought. For example, if I don't check the tap is off, the house will be flooded. Category, overestimate the possibility of danger. Or, my family will never forgive me if the house gets burgled. Category, exaggerated feeling of responsibility. The next part of this workbook discusses how you can go about challenging your unhelpful thoughts and begin to see things in a more realistic light. This may reduce your tendency to engage in relief-seeking rituals. How to challenge unhelpful thoughts. Once you have recognized an unhelpful thought, the next stage is to challenge it. To do this, you can ask yourself a series of questions. See the example below. Situation. You are about to chop vegetables with your son in the house. An image of harming him with the knife comes into your mind. This leads to how you feel, disgusted, terrified. Unhelpful thought, I'm a terrible father for having this thought. I should be in prison. I must put this right. Challenges to an unhelpful thought. Now you can challenge your unhelpful thoughts by asking these questions. 1. Is there any evidence that contradicts this thought? I love my son very much. I always go out of my way to protect him. I don't choose to have this thought. 2. Would you apply the same standard to other people in your shoes? If it was my brother who had this thought about my nephew, I wouldn't think he should be in jail. 3. Can you remember any times where you have not performed a compulsion? If so, what happened? Once the phone rang and distracted me before I got a chance to put things right. In the end, nothing bad happened. 4. What new knowledge do you have now that could help in this situation? I know that having a thought is a lot different from actually following through with it. And 5. What are the costs and benefits of thinking in this way? Costs, I feel miserable. It makes me feel like I shouldn't spend any time with him. Benefits, I can't think of any. Once you have asked yourself these questions, you should read through your answers. Try to come up with a more balanced or rational view. For example, everyone has unusual thoughts at times. They don't reflect how I feel about my son. Having a thought about something does not mean that I want to follow through with it. Try to apply these questions to the unhelpful thoughts you notice. It can help to reduce your relief-seeking rituals. You can use this technique to test your thoughts are realistic and balanced. Thought diary. please complete the form on page 22 of the print version or note the required information in an appropriate place. The text on the print version is as follows. Try to challenge your unhelpful thoughts using the table below. Box 1, situation. Box 2, emotion or emotions, how it makes you feel. Box 3, unhelpful thought or thoughts. Box 4, challenges to unhelpful thought or thoughts. Use the questions listed below to help. Is there any evidence that contradicts this thought? Would you apply the same standard to other people in your shoes? Can you remember any times when you have not performed a compulsion? If so, what happened? What new knowledge do you have now that could help in this situation? What are the costs and benefits of thinking this way? Benefits, costs. And box 5, balanced thought or thoughts. Can you think of a more balanced thought that would be more accurate? Final word. The print version shows a picture of a handwritten checklist showing daily checklist. 1. Check. 2. Continue day. We hope that you have found some of the ideas in this booklet useful. You can continue to use the techniques you found helpful long into the future, and they should continue to benefit you. If some of the ideas are not particularly helpful at first, it is perhaps worth sticking with them for a few weeks to give them a chance to work. If, however, you feel your situation remains largely unchanged, or if you did not find this booklet useful, you should speak to your GP, who can tell you about the other options available which you could find helpful. Further information and resources. For further information and self-help resources relating to managing obsessions and compulsions, go to Fife's Mood Cafe website, www.moodcafe.co.uk, or the Mood Juice website, www.moodjuice.scot.nhs.uk. End of recording.